Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Stretch Goose Podcast. It is episode 81, and I am flying solo. And that's okay. I don't mind being by myself. It happens a lot. Just a lonely podcaster out in the space. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different. Obviously, we got some housekeeping. I put out the old commercial, the old PSA about the Stretch Goose intro. The commercial is out there. The rules are identified in the description of that contest commercial thing. And it's pretty much just 1 minute in length. Make sure the phrase Stretch Goose Podcast is in it. And submit it to Stretch Goose at fontsmedia.com and get all that stuff in. Oh my gosh. I'm drinking some ginger ale, some carbonation, and it is really messing with my throat right now. I am having the burps and the slurps and the gargles. So I apologize for that little, that little deal there. But anyway, the submission rules are simple. 1 minute in length. Got to have the phrase Stretch Goose Podcast. Has to be in by January 17th. Winner will be announced in January 25th. And your prize is nothing more than exposure and a song credit. Now, if that's not enticing enough for you guys, I understand everybody wants to be compensated monetarily for some reason. There's not a whole lot of goodness of your heart out there anymore in the world. And that's okay. It's okay. It happens. I get it. But we normally cover when my sidekick is with me, my son Kyle, we normally cover it in, you know, movies, video games, sports. And then we can kind of have like a news story of sorts. But we're not going to do that because there's so much news out there. And I've got a whole lot of clips. It's going to be a clip-heavy show today. So get in your seats, buckle up, get your coffee, whatever that beverage is that makes you, feel all happy inside. But I gotta say, it is the end of Cori Bush, and she gives her final speech, tear-felt goodbye. A member of the squad has perished. And, this is from Heartland Signal that got this clip ready.
It has been the honor of my life to be your Congresswoman, Missouri's 1st District. Mom and Dad, I know you're proud. So, from St. Louis to Gaza and everywhere between, beyond and in between, always remember this Congresswoman loves you and will always have your back, even if it means I lose something. So until we rise again, St. Louis, I love you. I yield back my time to the chair.
And that is it for Cori. Not sad to see her go, not happy, not anything really. It is I think Jamal Bowman's another squadron member. It's two dominoes have fallen. We just got to get three more of them. I know what this sounds like, but voting them out, I mean, three more to go. Because this is the most disgusting group of Congress in Congress that I've ever seen. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the leader of this group, dumber than a bag of rocks. She got voted in because she's in a very blue district. She does photo ops. She goes to Met Galas wearing just clothing that says tax the rich. Just unbelievable. And then you got Jamal Bowman pulling fire alarms, thinking that they're, you know, door handles, because he doesn't want anybody to vote on certain bills. You got the anti-Semitic crazy lady. Then you got the other one out of Minnesota, the other nut job. I don't even want to say their names for the most part. You know who they are. It's just, I'm not a fan of them. It's good to see two of them go, you know, get some change in there. So the next one on the list here is Kathy Hochul. And she unveiled this insane attempt to buy votes and to buy the good favor of those in New York.
In my budget next month, they will send you a check to buy your groceries for a month or whatever you want to spend it on. And if you're an individual earning up to $150,000 a year, it's $300. What does that look like?
In the clip, she's pulling up a paper cardboard check.
For individual. Now, if you're filing jointly and you have a family, you need a little more, right? Families are expensive. How about this? $500. $500. For families earning less than $300,000, because I know life in New York City is expensive and your salaries may sound nice, but they don't go very far.
Oh my goodness. The governor, Kathy Hochul, is announcing $300 to $500 checks. And the goal is to combat inflation. And if you make up to $150,000, you qualify for these taxpayer funded checks. You're not going to combat inflation with this. You're just going to raise more inflation because you're printing money that you don't have, and you are giving it away, and you're kicking the can down the road. This is really disgusting. It's similar to a lot of the bailouts that the federal government has done, where this is at the state level, and it's just going to bring on more debt. They're going to end up with more issues. What are you going to do? This clip is from End Wokeness, by the way. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to this other than this is the stupidest shit ever. It's ridiculous. You're just buying votes. You're just buying votes. And if you make a combined income of $300,000 a year, you openly admit that New York is expensive. What is $500 going to do? Buy what? A couple weeks worth of groceries at its current prices? And maybe we'll pay the, you know, light bill or the phone bill, maybe? I mean, it doesn't exactly help. I mean, if you're going to do this, my opinion anyway, is maybe you give $3,000. Like, give a month's salary in there, as opposed to the ridiculous low dollar amounts that the government gives out. It just, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like what happened in North Carolina with the hurricane. Everybody got wiped out, and you had to apply for a $700 check. Like, that's not doing anything. It's not even going to, you're not going to get a car out of it. It's not even going to buy you anything worth a damn. It's ridiculous. But they keep doing it, though. They keep doing it. And it works because, you know, it just works. And this is from Colin Rugg. I don't know what OnlyFans is other than a pornographic website. You know, it's a subscription-based service, things of that nature. This girl, Sophie Rain, claims to have made $43 million in 1 year. And she's also claiming to be a devout Christian and or virgin. And one guy paid nearly $5 million a year all by himself. And I got it. You're sitting here saying you're a devout Christian. And what are you doing on OnlyFans? Making $43 million a year. And you suckered one guy into $5 million. How is that Christian? How could you be a devout, God-loving Christian? And then you turn around and you go on OnlyFans and you're topless or you're basically masturbating, showing your body parts. I mean, and people are paying you for it. I don't understand. I don't get how you're honoring God and doing this. And the money she's talking about, and she's posting screen grabs of the dollar figures. I can't verify it. I don't know, but it looks to me like it's a pile of BS considering the videos that she is posting on X talking about this stuff and the room she is in. It does not look like it's a $43 million. I mean, unless she's really got a good financial thing going, I have no idea. I have no idea. I just don't. And I don't think we ever will. This is craziness right here. This is craziness right here.
House lawmakers trying to get answers about drone sightings in the skies over New Jersey and Staten Island. Correspondent Nate Foy reports tonight from Morristown, New Jersey.
The fact that we don't know what's flying in our airspace is only the tip of the iceberg what's to come. We have to fix this.
Today, lawmakers on Capitol Hill raised questions about the United States' ability to defend against drone attacks and counter-surveillance operations.
The American people are looking at us and they think that we're lying to them because they think, how could you possibly not have answers to drones flying over some of the most critical airspace in the country.
In recent months, swarms of unidentified drones flew over the Langley Air Force Base in Virginia, the southern border in Texas, and now nearly every night in New Jersey and New York for 3 weeks.
The president is aware, so we're closely tracking the activity and coordinating closely with relevant agency, including DHS and FBI.
But the FBI doesn't have answers.
We're investigating, but I don't have an answer of who's responsible for that.
House Speaker Mike Johnson promises to keep working on it.
We need straight answers, of course. We are concerned about drones and all these new technologies and what it might mean for national security and the safety of the American citizen.
Any thought these might be dark programs?
I hope not. I don't believe so, but there's a lot of investigation going on, so we'll find out.
Congressman Jeff Van Drew tells Fox News he's concerned it could be a foreign adversary conducting surveillance, like last year's Chinese spy balloon.
China is one full decade ahead of us. And if this shows us anything, it shows us that we need to do better.
While the concern grows in New Jersey.
There's a lot of fear because there's no solid answers being provided.
Tomorrow morning, starting at 10 a.m., New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy will host two separate briefings with New Jersey mayors as well as state leaders and authorities while the investigation continues.
Drones, guys. There are drones all over the place. And our own government has no clue what they are. They don't know who they belong to. They don't know who's flying them. This is a news break from Fox News and I know this one is a little bit old. This was a few days ago, but it's actually continuing and getting a little bit more elaborate. They believe that there are motherships and all that type of stuff sitting out there. They don't believe that it is foreign, so there's somebody doing it. And of course our government, Anthony Blinken, our secretary there, is saying that they are they're being operated within the legally. They're being basically used legally. I don't know what it is. Nobody really has an idea. It's kind of scary how these drones are able to just wander around over military sites and certain government areas without getting shot down, but it's crazy. Do you remember broadband internet? Does anybody remember what Joe Biden said he was going to do? Does anybody remember this?
10 senators from both parties visibly happy to announce agreement.
3 years ago, Republicans and Democrats grabbed your money, promising
to build thousands of miles of fiber optic cable.
Cable that would provide high-speed internet to all of America.
$65 billion broadband push.
3 years later, no one's been connected. Not a single project is underway. Why? Because governments aren't good at building anything. As Milton Friedman put it,
very few people spend other people's money as carefully as they spend their own.
Politicians spending other people's money wasted it. Private companies laid miles of cable, while government officials obsessed about giving broadband to the right people.
Boys, girls, people of color, people living in rural America.
Aging individuals, prisoners, LGBTQ persons. Any company that wants funds to build broadband has to hire certain people.
You have to hire these certain people based on their color, based on their sex, and you have to use unions.
Matt Cole's investment company researched the government's funding and made this ad.
What am I looking at here?
Oh, there's nothing more important than making sure you're representing all the right causes.
You have all these companies that could actually do this, and I say, this is unimplementable with the restrictions, so they just walk away.
Eventually, government will probably succeed at installing some broadband. But by then, this hard-to-install cable may be totally unnecessary because of satellite internet like Starlink.
Starlink already exists and costs much less.
They could do it literally today. You could have devices in these people's homes within the next couple months, and they could have high-speed internet access.
So why didn't administration officials do that? They said Starlink failed to demonstrate it had the ability. Then, once it became clear that Starlink obviously did, the administration said it won't use Starlink because it's a monopoly.
So first, they're not functional. Now they have a monopoly. The reality is that they didn't want that to be the solution.
They don't want to give money to Elon Musk.
Take over, Elon! Yes, take over!
But now, Musk has a friend in government, so things may change. But that's not a good way to spend your money. Politicians doling it out to their friends. In fact, politicians have a bad track record when they decide what to build. They pumped billions into high-speed rail. 15 years later, we still don't have it. They lost $500 million on Solyndra, almost $1 billion trying to create synthetic fuels. More recently, a Biden meatpacking scheme starved 1 million chickens. And although Biden promised government would build
500,000 charging stations,
2 years later, how many have they built for $7 billion? Seven. And again, government's failure at building things is not just a Democrat thing. Republicans join Democrats in grabbing your money to build computer chip factories.
We will enable advanced semiconductor manufacturing to make a comeback here in America.
Democrats bragged about adding strings.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
The CHIPS Act contains 19 sections aimed at helping minority groups.
You already have a talent problem. Now you're looking at only being able to recruit from a very small minority of individuals. Then you have to do climate pledges. Then you have to hire from unions.
But diversity is good. And there has been horrible discrimination in this country.
That doesn't mean that you should shift the pendulum back to hire someone because of their race or their skin color if they're a diverse candidate.
Despite the billions you spent, most chips are still made in Taiwan. And even when we pay their chip makers, they struggle to build in America.
A major Taiwanese chip manufacturing plant will be delayed again.
If our government wants chips made in America, they should get out of the way. Micromanaging microchips just slows things down.
Even if they get what they promise, doing the numbers, $53 billion and 115,000 promised jobs, that's almost $500,000 per job.
You would expect nothing else from government inefficiency, right?
With Republicans in charge, some think things will be better. But as I said, the problem isn't just Democrats, it's government.
Republican politicians also harm people when they try to improve on the free market. Trump's steel tariffs destroyed American jobs because they raised the price of steel. Our government should just stop subsidizing politically connected businesses. And maybe Elon Musk will convince Trump to do that. He's actually tweeted that all subsidies should end, including his own. But I won't hold my breath.
We spent $2.5 trillion. We got everybody pay increases.
Once politicians are in power, they always want to do more with your money.
I'm going to leave that one there. That is a great 5 minutes from John Stossel. That guy does really good work. He said it best. Government doesn't know how to do things. They don't know how to get things done. They have a lot of ideas. They steal your money and they never accomplish anything. I mean, $7.5 billion for charging stations and they only built seven. $500 million lost in Solyndra. Come on now. All these examples are in front of us. The semiconductor thing, the CHIPS Act, complete failure. The steel tariffs that were implemented killed 75,000 jobs. There's so much wrong when government attempts to get involved in the private sector. It's laughable at this point. And to know that they took over $3.5 billion for high speed internet and they have yet to lay a single cable in the ground, it's absolutely insane. And the rules that they have put in place, you know, you have to hire certain people through certain places and doing certain things, it lessens the talent pool, like the gentleman said there, and it just destroys the idea and nobody wants to touch it. But yet they somehow got a hold of billions and billions of your money. That in itself is disgusting. Maybe it'll change. Who knows? Let's dive into a little Adam Shifties here for a second. Now, Donald Trump has been talking about the January 6th guys. He says openly his opinion is that these guys should all be in prison. They should all go to jail and that they should pay for their, you know, be held accountable, if you will. And this whole thing is crazy. It's just crazy. And here's the opener to this.
I don't think the incoming president should be threatening his political opponents with jail time. That's not the kind of talk we should hear from a president in a democracy. Nor do I think that a pardon is necessary for the members of the January 6th committee. We're proud of the work we did on that committee. It was a fundamental oversight obligation to investigate the first attempt to interfere with a peaceful transfer of power in our history. Many of you were here in this building during that violent attack, and we're proud of the work we did to expose what went into that once-in-history effort to interfere with the transition of power.
All right, so he, as he said, that was from Breaking 911, he is saying, I don't think the incoming president should be threatening his political opponents with jail time. That's not the kind of talk we should hear from the president in a democracy, nor do I think that a pardon is necessary for the members of the January 6th committee. Okay, so this guy is saying that Donald Trump should not be prosecuting the political opponents and going after people in the political sphere, right? Okay, so let's go back in time a little bit.
Well, we know that this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. That's been clear for well over a year now that they've been pushing this false narrative about the vice president and his son. And, you know, the idea that the president, that the White House counsel and others were made aware that Giuliani was being used by Russian intelligence and using Russian intelligence in the sense of meeting with an agent of the Kremlin and pushing out this Kremlin false narrative. The idea that they were knowing and still on the floor of the Senate during the impeachment trial, pushing this Kremlin narrative is pretty breathtaking. But I guess at this point, we can't be shocked by anything this administration does, no matter how craven. But clearly, the origins of this whole smear are from the Kremlin, and the president is only too happy to have Kremlin help in trying to amplify it. Well,
all right, so there's that, where he is during the second impeachment, the laptop was out there, and everybody said it was Russian disinformation. We all now know that that was not the case, and Adam Schiff is clearly lying to the American people at that time. So and it's an obvious attack on the Republican Party. But just to go a little bit more on this, and this is even more interesting. This is a deal from a guy named Ving Lee who put this together, and it's clips from 2018, 2019, and now.
On the day Donald Trump leaves office, the Justice Department may indict him.
Very strongly in favor of indicting the president when he is out of office.
I don't think the incoming president should be threatening his political opponents with jail time. That's not the kind of talk we should hear from a president in a democracy.
So there you go. There you go. There you go. He's sitting there being Adam Schiff. He's talking about the Russians are involved. Donald Trump is involved with the Russians. And then in the next clip, he's talking about how they shouldn't attack his political opponents. And then he's sitting there talking about how he's in favor. Then you go back in 2018, he says he's in favor of indicting the president. 2019, he's in favor of indicting the president. It's like absolutely sickening that these guys think that we don't own a fucking television set, a computer, internet doesn't exist, and we're all just sitting in a cave writing on the wall, and we're using blood to sign parchment paper or some shit. It's appalling, it's offensive, and it's disgusting. It's very disgusting that they do that. So here's an insane proposal coming from everybody as Joe Biden gets to the finish line. A lot of pardons preemptively. The Hunter Biden pardon was a blanket pardon. Now we've got people wanting to commute death row inmates.
Today, on Human Rights Day, we call on President Biden to do the right thing, to use his clemency authority to commute the death sentences of the 40 individuals on death row, to resentence them to a prison term and to save lives. Yes. State-sanctioned murder is not justice. And the death penalty is a cruel, racist, and fundamentally flawed punishment that has no place in our society. It is deeply discriminatory and has disproportionately been weaponized against Black, Brown, and low-income families for far too long. It is long past time for President Biden to make good on his campaign promise, yeah, to address the federal death penalty. With 40 days left in his presidency, we must move with urgency and ensure that history never repeats itself.
This is absolutely disgusting. This is from End Wokeness by way of Proud Elephant. And these are all X handles that I'm giving credit to. So if you go to X, you check out Proud Elephant, check out End Wokeness, check out Brain Fart right there, Breaking 911, and they're lots of very interesting content. This is disgusting, and by the way, this clip is absolutely disgusting. Now. Death row is a racist thing. I've never seen any evidence. I've never seen it. If you guys have it, let me know in the comments down below. I've never seen any evidence about how death row is racist, how it only attacks the Black and Brown people. I don't understand any of that. But take the racism thing and set it off to the side. You want to take death row inmates and commute their sentence and resentence them to lesser sentences. And right behind this lady is a whole bunch of those squad members. I don't understand the idea or the motives or any of this. Because most death row inmates killed somebody in a horrifically gross way. And the only punishment that they should have is the death penalty. And that's the only one, and that's the only penalty that they should get. It's very weird what a lot of the left is jumping for. We're commuting death row sentences. It is blanket pardons for January 6th. Nobody should be chasing after their political, opponents, says Adam Schiff. It's very weird, all this crap that's going on with these guys. And this is my favorite clip. This is Benny Johnson. He's the guy that led the January 6th commission / committee. And this is from Gunther Eagleman. The clip itself is from C-SPAN, though.
Over the weekend, former President Trump in an interview suggested that January 6th members should be jailed. Do you have any reaction to that? And do you think that a preemptive pardon is necessary?
Well, I'll take it one at a time, okay? First of all, President, former to be President Trump is absolutely wrong. There's nothing we did as a January 6th select committee that violates the law. Just because you disagree with the work of the committee is no way to threaten those members of the committee.
That is hilarious. And the reason I say that is because he sits there and he says that we did nothing wrong and everything was above board and he should not be threatening us. This is what the rules of the committee were. No witnesses can be cross-examined. No witnesses are to be called by the defense. No opposition view of the evidence. No member who didn't vote for the impeachment can be on the committee. Then after that, they have those rules, and then this is what they did. They destroyed exculpatory evidence. They inserted fictitious audio into the January 6th videos. They avoided key witnesses like the chief of Capitol Police. They removed Republicans from the committee, and they televised the hearing on prime time to influence the public. Are you guys that you guys have got to be high on your own supply to tell the public you've done nothing wrong, and to really get into the weeds on this is Kash Patel. Kash Patel said on his True Social, anytime you want to show up and talk truth on January 6th, let me know and stop hiding behind CNN and your lies. You showed up for my deposition and left after 5 minutes. Total coward and owned by the deep state. You're a complete zero. He's referencing Adam Kinzinger, who had stated that Kash Patel did not show up for his interview. And Liz Cheney said the same thing. And Kash Patel has said that he showed up and that his testimony was never used. That is crazy to me. That is crazy to me. That is just a suppression of evidence. That is a suppression of the entire process. And I just the balls on these guys, so to speak, is a better way of saying it, right? I mean, you're going to sit there and say, I've done nothing wrong. You can't come after your political opponents. You can't do this. You can't do that. And they did all that shit for like 4 years at this point, all of it. And then for Donald Trump's presidency for the first 3 years, they openly opposed everything that he did. They threw two impeachments at him that didn't make any sense. Then he gets out of office and they hit him with a 91 charge indictment for check writing for a clerical error, essentially. And then you get the overvaluing property thing. Like, the hell is happening? It's just crazy to me. And then, and now you got stuff like this. This is from the Daily Wire. Weeks before Trump takes office, Biden is racing to auction off unused border wall material. The video, there's a video of them hauling off this stuff. It is materials from the border to a government auction site where massive amounts of the wall is waiting to be sold. And from the looks of it, it's about several miles of this wall that Joe Biden stopped from being built, and then he turned around, and now he's turning around, he's trying to get rid of the materials so that way Donald Trump has to start over, essentially. It's really lowbrow, it's really below the belt politics. That's a better way of saying it. Okay, let's close the show the right way. Let's do the ultimate venting session, if you will. And I'm going to talk about podcasting. And this is the last time you're ever going to hear me talk about this. This is the last time you're ever going to hear me address it. This is the last time you're ever going to have this happen on this show. And I'm going to close it's the end of the year as well. So when 2025 hits, you know, it's going to be a completely new thing. I'm just no longer going to address this side of things. I was talking with my brother / business partner earlier today about this stuff. And we were talking a lot about the independent space. And we were talking about the financial side of it. We were talking about the how the independents are angry all the time when you try to collab with them and discuss, you know, statistics and financial obligations and what have you. And they get very defensive and they just blow you off, or they just act, you know, or they act like you don't exist after a while. Here's what I took away from it. We have a gigantic independent space in podcasting. Millions of podcasts are independently owned and operated, and all of them have their own revenue stream, however big or small it may be. But none of them are at the level of all of your super ultra famous celebrities that have dove into the space and stole audiences and threw a whole bunch of money at things and drowned us out, right? And I don't know if it's a discouraging thing, and that's why a lot of them don't want to try to do shit, but It's very frustrating and very disheartening when you're dealing with an independent podcaster or an independent podcast group, I guess, like another network of sorts, and they always act like they're better than you, or they always act like you don't exist, or they just have no interest in that business venture. And I sit there and I go in my, and I'm thinking, whether it be booking a guest or just doing like a show together, you know, where you're, whatever the case may be. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, this is why you guys are where you are. This is why all of you essentially are still at the bottom. And I know this is a time consuming venture. I do. I know that, you know, you record it, you edit it, whatever your system is, and it may take you a day or 2 days for a turnaround time to polish it up or put it out, however it is. I know that there's a process to it. And a lot of us are by ourselves trying to do it all by ourselves. And I get that. but you also have to, if you really want to make this a thing that you're not having to work anymore, this is like your revenue stream, this is your career, or this is just a extra set of income that you want to boost. This is a thing that I'm going to just put this out here. All right. It's a long setup, but I'm just going to put this out here. If you really think you're that good, and I know there's a lot of podcasters out there that average 2,000 to 3,000 downloads a month, and they have maybe a, you know, 400 or 500 subscribers to their podcast. They probably have a 30% engagement rate, let's say. And there's a lot of you guys out there. A lot of you guys also have a YouTube, you know, channel with it where you film it and you put it out, and you're probably getting, you know, some look there. There's a lot of you out there. And then there's a lot of you that just sit here with your microphone plugged into your computer, USB jack, and then you record that way. And that's fine, you know, but if you guys out there want to succeed and you want to do things, you have to somehow figure out a way of promotion, a way of marketing, a way of booking guests. I mean, you have to figure this out, because it's a slog, but there are so many things that a lot of these platforms offer that nobody takes advantage of. So an example is, there are some platforms that allow you to advertise your podcast on the main page in a banner on the top, middle, however it is, and they charge you money for it. A lot of you guys out there won't do it. There's a lot of you guys that won't do it. There's also other parts within those platforms where if you pay a couple of bucks, you can get featured exclusively in the category that you're in. A lot of you guys don't want to do that. A lot of you guys will sit with your head in the sand on that type of, on that opportunity. There are companies that you can partner with. You pay them a couple of bucks, and they will put your audio track or as a commercial directly behind another podcast. And there are other other companies that if you pay them a couple of bucks, they will actually put your podcast in a rotation on a suggestion so that people see it. So they listen to Joe Rogan, and then in that player's feed, you will be next as a suggestion. Now, it's up to them to press play, but you are now in the cell phone of somebody. You are visibly there. Bam. Those are those options that are out there. There's another deal where you can pay another company. There's other companies out there. You pay them a couple of bucks, and they will put your podcast on other websites. Not necessarily podcast-driven platforms, but other websites where they play like 20, 30 seconds of audio, and then you have that option for them to click it. Sometimes, if it's interesting 30 seconds, they'll click it. There's your download count right there. There's your engagement right there. And there are platforms out there, and we know who these platforms are: Podcast Addict, Apple, Spotify, Podbean. They're basically all the hosting sites, all those platforms that you can talk to them about, you know, like Podbean, for example. I'm going to use Podbean on this one. They have an option where you put a commercial together and then you pay them whatever that budget is, and then they run that commercial across all the selected categories that you have, or podcasts, or what have you. That's another way to get your name out there. There are so much in terms of advertising that is available to people that nobody takes advantage of. Nobody's using. Now, there are a lot of these podcasts, independent podcasts, I didn't know existed until I ended up in a podcast community on X, what at the time it was Twitter. The reason I don't know that they exist at the time before that was because none of them were paying to do it. None of them were putting it out there. None of them were coming up with whatever budget financially that they could muster to do it. But yet they're all sitting here, you know, on X or Facebook or whatever, posting their year-to-date download number and celebrating it. You know, but it's like, it's such a small number. You know, an example of this is there's the guy will post, you know, the podcast will post on whatever platform, you know, thank you, you know, for reaching 40,000 downloads. You know, we hit a big number, right? But 40,000 downloads year to date, and you've been out for how many years? You know, it's really a small number. You know, I'm gonna throw out just this one thing. This podcast, Stretch Goose Podcast, has been in existence for a decade, and this podcast, 7 months ago, I went into business with my brother. We are putting together a business venture based around podcasting, based around this avenue, this genre, whatever you want to call this. So in 7 months, we have World Ablaze with George Fonts. We have Random Thoughts with Manuel and George. We have the Stretch Goose Podcast with Manuel, myself, and my son Kyle has joined in. And we have the History Of that I've been working on, where it's a little 10-minute bit of history of on random things. And we have my brother's background is in marketing. It's in some advertising, and he has his own business that he had to get the word out and grow, and it's grown into a profitable business based off of all those actions, right? So he looked at this entire industry and he was like, how in the hell is Smartless gaining traction? It is a stupid fucking show. There's no reason for that show to exist other than there's three well-known actors on it driving the audience. The show itself is a disaster. And I'm thinking in my head, he's got a point. But before, up until 7 months ago, this podcast here, in 9 years and change at that point, got 4,000 downloads total. There are many factors to that. One is I had no interest in letting anybody know it existed. I had no interest at the time of trying to get this thing off the ground in that way. It was just more of a hobby, getting stuff off my chest, you know, lowering the blood pressure, things like that. But I took the time and I practiced, and it was just basically a 9-year practice session, basically. And so when he said that, you know, about Smartless, and then he said, you know, there's a whole bunch of podcasters talking about podcasting, you know, like tips and tricks. And for some reason, some of these guys are gaining traction. How the fuck is this even possible? You know, how in the world is how in the world is anything on the All Things Comedy channel tracking, other than the fact that they have name recognition? Like, what is driving people to these places? And he's got a point, right? So what do? Right. What do? You do your research, right? So he did his research. He looked at a lot of different things. He looked at a lot of different platforms, and he sat there and he goes, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to put some cash into this, because you have to get your name out. You have to advertise. You have to pay for advertising. You have to pay a couple of bucks to get a lot of different things rolling. So we're going to dump some money into this and see what happens. So mind you, this was 7 months ago, right? I did 4,000 in 9 years, downloads wise. And I had like 12 subscribers in 9 years, right? Currently, right now, the Stretch Goose podcast, 7 months into this financial business venture, now we're taking it seriously. We're putting our name out there, right? And we're buying the ad banners. We're doing what we need to do, right? And currently, right now, according to PodTrack, which is a tracking site that a lot of you guys probably still use to track your statistics. And it's a third-party site, and it's always good to have, because we've also noticed that there's a 5 to 10,000 download difference between our platform that we distribute with and with the third-party site. Because a lot of these guys will track the IAB certified downloads differently. According to PodTrack, we are 7 months later. We are at 25,067 downloads. We are running an average audience of roughly 3,000 every 30 days. My subscriber base is closing in on 100. That's just the Stretch Goose podcast. And that's with minimal investment, financially speaking, because just to kind of give you somewhat of a breakdown in this way, the history of is at 2,367 all time downloads in 7 months, with an average audience of 56, and there's just those are the two that I do, and I think it's if this could be achieved in 7 months, imagine if I had actually promoted and paid for the ad space and paid for the banner buys and all this types of stuff over a 9 year period, I'd probably have 200,000 to 300,000 downloads. I would. There's no doubt in my mind. And excuse me. And I'm bringing this up just to say that, guys out there, all you independents that are constantly bitching and complaining and acting like none of this stuff is real, this shouldn't be happening, blah, 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 blah. I'm just going to say it. You guys are doing it wrong. That's it, guys. That's episode 81. It's in the bag. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate all of the subscribers that I've gained. Listen to World Ablaze. Listen to Random Thoughts. Later.